Do you not know the fucking rules? Do you not know how this game is played?
I didn't go in and fight like a jackass for 5 rounds. I didn't do what he did tonight. I'm not afraid of the internet. It's a place where cowards live.
I'm the friggin' promoter of the fight. What do you guys want me to crawl under a rock and hide when we have a fight?
Oh, Roo, can you believe it? UFC is on its way to Adelaide. It's not far away. December the 2nd it is at the Entertainment Centre. And, Roo, this man is arguably, probably not even arguably, the biggest sports promoter in the world. I just want to give you a couple of stats here. Dana White managed a couple of UFC fighters, and then he and a couple of mates decided to buy the UFC. They bought it for $2 million and sold it for $4 billion. That's pretty good business.
Very good return on investment.
It
there.
Is.
No arguments about that. UFC is huge, yep. Dits. I love it. People love it all over the world. Australia's huge. Whenever there's big fights on, the pubs have got it. They're chock-a-block.
They're full, yeah.
And this is unbelievable. It's actually coming to Adelaide.
Well, it's in 175 countries. Let's say good morning to Dana White. How are you? Welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thanks.
Geez, these stats are very, very impressive. Is there something you can pinpoint? You're obviously a very, very clever promoter. How did you take the sport from what it was to where it is now?
Well, you know, I always believed that fighting would work all over the world, and this form of fighting is the most exciting. And thank God I was right. So, we continued to search for talent in different countries. And as big as it is now, we still do. We are actually breaking ground next week for a new performance institute in China. We're actually building one 3 times bigger than the one in Las Vegas.
Wow.
We're building 3 down in Mexico. You know, we continue to take this sport into territories that we've never been and continue to cultivate talent around the world.
Is it come at the expense of boxing? There's been a lot of criticism about boxing and unfair decisions and all sorts of issues with boxing. But with UFC in the ring, it looks 100% genuine.
No, it's genuine. Boxing has done a lot of things to shoot itself in the foot over the last 30 or 40 years. And, you know, one of the big things is guys don't want to fight each other. The best don't fight the best. And I think that drives people nuts.
Unlike when you bring Conor McGregor into UFC and you have the biggest purse of all time. I mean, that's huge. What's he like, Conor McGregor, to deal with face-to-face?
He's awesome. I mean, he's a fun guy to deal with. He's a fun guy to have in the sport. When you're dealing with a Conor McGregor event, it's very fun to be a part of.
Recently, we saw the controversy surrounding the sport, and it involved Conor McGregor, and there was a big fight broke out. And I know that a couple of nights ago on Australian TV, you got into a verbal stoush with Waleed Ali. But I want to ask you, I mean, has it really done the sport any harm? Surely, you know, the old adage that any publicity is good publicity. I mean, the whole world was talking about it, weren't they?
Yeah, it definitely didn't. I was obviously upset about it, but it looked like I was the only one that was upset about it. Yeah, and my argument with the guys on television is like, do you know how insane you have to be to think that that was staged? I mean, come on. We're going to take our biggest star, get him arrested in New York, go to jail, get sued by a bunch of people, and he's now banned from the state of New York. He can't fight there. Why would we stage that? And how would we stage that?
Yeah.
How many people would have to be involved in that? It's just, it's silly to ask that question.
Maybe even you couldn't pull that one off, Dana. Hey, can I ask you a couple of questions? How did you get involved in UFC? Tell us about how you grew up, and then why you had to leave and head to Las Vegas.
I've always been a huge fight fan, and I've been involved in the fight business my whole life. And I started managing a couple of guys, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, who are UFC fighters. And I got into a huge contract battle with the old owner of the UFC, negotiating their deals. And through that, I found out that the UFC was in trouble and they were going out of business. So I called my soon-to-be partners, the Fertitta brothers. They own Station Casinos, which is the 4th largest gaming company in the country. And I said, hey, guys, the UFC's in trouble, and I think we should buy it. A couple months later, we owned it for $2 million.
Right. Oh, that's a good story, and then turn it into $4 billion. What about
just on that, though? Sorry, Roo, but the turning it into that sort of money machine, was it all about television rights? Is that the main way that you generated the money?
No, it was about getting the fights back on free TV. If you look at boxing, when I was young, they used to have the big fights on ABC's Wide World of Sports, and you could watch all these big fights. Then boxing got really greedy, and they went straight to the pay model, to pay-per-view. So they shrunk their fan base massively. Mm. Over the last 30 years. And we wanted to do the exact opposite. We wanted to get back on free TV, build the sport, build stars, build the brand, and then take them directly to pay-per-view. Obviously, television rights ended up becoming very big for us. But it was really all about pay-per-view in the beginning.
Tell us about when you're a youngster growing up in Boston. I think you had a little bit of a business where you're doing a bit of personal training and boxing and bits and pieces, and you hit on, I guess, is one way of putting it, by the notorious Boston gangster James Whitey Bulger. Are you happy to talk about that experience?
Yeah, so he was actually just murdered in prison.
He was.
Like a couple weeks ago. But yeah, it wasn't him. It was the guy, it was his right-hand man, Kevin Weeks. You know, I was doing business in their town, and they wanted money from me, and it was more money than I could afford.
So what was it, just standing over you, just to pay him, just
You know what? They basically walked into one of my classes one day and said, we need to talk to you. We went outside and said, you're doing business in our town. You owe us $2,500, which might as well have been $25,000 to me back then.
Yep.
And I said, well, I don't have it. And they said, get it. So a month later, I got a call at my apartment. It was a Saturday afternoon. They said, you have till tomorrow at 1 o'clock to get us the money. I said, or what? And they said, are you going to find out? So I literally hung up the phone, picked it back up, and called Delta and got a one-way ticket to Vegas.
Really? So you knew who they were and what they were capable of?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Literally, a couple months later, they started digging up all the bodies at the beach, and Whitey Bulger fled, and the rest of the guys got arrested.
Jeez. So what was he? Was he a mafia gangster, or what was
it? Yeah, he's one of the most impressive gangsters ever. He ran the Boston crime scene for over 40 years. What ended up happening was they found out that he was in business with the FBI.
Right.
And basically, whenever somebody was going to go rat on him,
yeah,
the FBI would tell him and he'd kill him.
Right.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor, and I think it shocked everyone when he actually lost that fight recently to the big Russian. I can't even say the Russian's name, to be honest, which is a bit disrespectful. If I met him, I'd probably learn it real quick. But
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
That's him. Say that four times in a row after 5 years. But a lot of people were shocked that McGregor actually did lose the fight. Maybe you weren't. You know a lot more about it than we do. But is McGregor the best that we've seen, or has this fella now got him covered? How do you see it?
Well, that's the thing. There's two different styles, you know. McGregor's style is the stand up and knock you out. And Khabib's style is to take you down and smash you on the ground. I think that Conor did a really good job considering what everybody thought his wrestling skills were going to be. But yeah, Khabib is unbelievable, but Conor is too in his own right.
Tell us about what we're going to expect for the night of UFC when it comes to Adelaide.
Every time we come to Australia, it never fails. The fights are unbelievable. I think that the crowd here and the energy and the buzz in Australia is so insane that it just takes the fighters to another level. Yep. I've never seen a bad event in Australia. It's awesome. So that's exactly what I expect in Adelaide and in Melbourne.
So there's going to be a lot of local fighters in the Adelaide one?
Absolutely, yeah. There's so much local talent here now. You know, this place is booming. For MMA, it's incredible.
Okay,
and then for the uninitiated, I've got a question about the sport. Are there any rules at all?
Oh yeah, there's tons of rules. Listen, even back in the day when the UFC was promoted, there are no rules. There were actually rules. there's rules, and this is a real sport that's sanctioned by the athletic commissions. There's rules. There's referees. There's judges. Think about this, right? As crazy as the UFC sounds to people, even back in the old days, right? It's our 25th year anniversary this year. There's never been a death or serious injury. Cheerleading can't say that, okay?
Fair point. Dana, it has been fascinating talking to you. You really are one of the great success stories of world sport. We look forward to you coming to Adelaide, and thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Good on you. There he is, Dana White, UFC.